Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, so should I just lead the way?
Yeah, lead the way.
Okay.
Good morning, Running Commentary. We're here this morning with, let's face it, a sort of semi-legend of the show.
Yes,
although
absolutely.
Although he's never appeared on it before.
But we've been waiting for this moment.
Gavin Evans from London Heathside, author, lecturer, and English running for England.
Yeah, I mean, your challenge today, Gavin, is to be on the show and retain your mythic status.
My mythic status, okay.
So how are you? You okay? How's your fitness at the moment?
Yeah. Well, it's not where it should be because I just came back from 3 weeks in New York and Boston, so... You know, I was doing about 30 miles a week this way up here.
Right.
Not doing any sessions.
Right.
So,
okay.
So.
Is that just a kind of. Is that really ticking over for you?
That's ticking over. So now, from this week, I should start training properly. So I move quite quickly up to 60 miles a week.
Right.
And then 70.
What races are you aiming for at the minute?
Well, I've got the wonderful Milton Keynes Marathon.
All right, okay.
I was supposed to be doing the Prague Marathon, which was on the same day.
Oh,
and right. I told my girlfriend, my partner, that I was doing that. And she said, that's brilliant, we can go. She's never been to Prague before.
Right.
But has she ever been to Milton Keynes?
And but then England said... this way over here, that because I'm entering a new age group, right. I have to re-qualify.
Right.
So after I turned 60, and I turned 60 at the end of April, I had to do, and Milton Keynes is the official qualifier.
No.
So they say, so basically, I have to do Milton Keynes. So I did say to her, I've got good news and bad news.
They're very similar.
The bad news is we're not going to Prague. The good news.
Maybe you should have kept it a secret. You know, the two cities are very similar.
She said, well, I've got news for you. You're going to be going to Milton Keynes.
Yeah. And so we need to talk about fitness, getting old.
Before we get to, can I just say where we are? Because I was really worried you were going to take us straight up the hill to Ali Pali there. So thank you.
No, we're doing a little loop round.
No, we're going to stay on paths.
It's a manky day in Alexander Palace Pass.
All the which actually not that bad.
No, but these seagulls are all landed. They're all the weather's not getting any better anytime soon. But anyway, sorry. Yes, that's.
I first met you. You won't really remember about 2002 when I joined. I went for some long Sunday runs with Heathside.
Yeah, no, I do remember.
And that was when you were writing a lot about boxing.
Yeah, yeah.
At that stage.
Yeah.
And then I rejoined Heathside again a few years ago, and you're still there. You've obviously... When did you start your running? You're obviously very serious about it.
So, started running at school. I used to run for my school.
Right.
And then... at university, I used to run to keep fit for boxing. Right. And then I stopped really for about 18, 17, 18 years.
Okay, that's
and then.
So what age were you when you restarted?
39.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Quite similar to me, actually.
I was going to say, if you replace boxing with football, that's pretty much Paul's curve.
Yeah, so it's a good age to start again.
Yeah, well, you can get on a trajectory, can't you, at that age for a good few years?
Yeah.
Which you sort of, alarmingly, you're not getting faster, but you're not slowing down by much, are you?
A little bit. I mean, on the shorter distances, definitely.
Yeah.
On the longer ones, not so much, because I think your endurance lasts longer.
Right.
So, I mean, actually, when I joined, there was a guy in the club who said, okay, I'll lean at 39. And he said, okay, so you've got 7 years to improve. After that, you're going to start declining.
Right.
But it didn't work like that.
Yes.
I mean, I had most of my PBs after the age of 50.
Right, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And gives me a bit of hope. It reminds me of a little chat we had. This was about a couple of years ago, actually. You were coming back from and it shows how determined you are. We were coming back from a calf injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd run, I think it was a Middlesex 10K in Victoria Park. And you were really struggling a little bit whilst coming back, and you were outside 40 minutes for 10K.
Yeah, it was a really bad one. I remember that.
And I remember talking to you.
You had a great run that day.
I did all right. And I was saying, well, maybe you're probably just going to slow down a bit now. And the look you gave me today, it was like, I'm not having that. It was classic.
No, you can't have that. You can't have that. You can't even admit to yourself that you slowed down.
No, but it was really revealing. And lo and behold, it seems, not. I don't know whether it's since then, but your recent marathon performances, you did the 252 at Manchester, was it?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Was that last year?
Yeah, last year, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's the qualifying time that you have to reach in Milton Keynes?
The qualifying times are nothing. I mean, they're like 3:15 or something. But,
right.
But it's, you've got to get in the first five.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, that's basically.
And do you know the guys you're competing with?
No.
You don't, right?
I should, but I don't.
Yeah.
Round this way.
Cool. It's a funny one, isn't it? It must be.
Thank you.
As you get older, because there's less people around, but still very competitive.
No.
Still,
well, I sort of think it's attrition, you know?
Yeah, it is a slightly attritional, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But that's a distance running mindset anyway, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, you outlast them.
Yes.
By just not getting injured. Although I've had so many injuries in my 20 years of running. Jesus.
Really? You get a lot of injuries?
Yeah, I mean, I've had I've had the sort of catastrophic ones.
Right.
My absolute worst one was, there's a group of us running the West Highland Way.
Yeah.
Which is about 90 miles, so we're doing about 30 miles a day. But it was over, West Highland territory.
Right.
And in the absolute middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah. And on my first day, my trail shoes, the sole came off. So I had to run in trainers.
Yeah.
And I slipped on a rock. And I went flying into the air and landed about 6 feet down on my head.
Wow.
And I split my head open.
Oh my goodness, that's also beyond runner's injuries into nasty injuries in general.
Scraped all skin off it. And I had a horrible bruise all down my side from my rib. So Ash was just behind me. Ash is an Ethiopian runner.
Great runner himself, as he gets
fantastic,
old, isn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic runner. And he had been in the Ethiopian army. And he did self-defense training, but also he was a medic.
Right.
So he knew what to do. So he stuffed Steri-Wipes into the wound to stem the flow.
Nice.
Until he felt it was okay for me to get up. Then we walked to the end. So it was absolutely bizarre. I mean, I was pouring blood. And one of the guys who was with us, another fantastic runner called Paul Jarman.
Yes, I know Jarman.
And he's a neurologist.
The famous Jarminator. Sunday long run flat. Yes.
Jarman's Garmin is a podcast.
And he's a neurologist. And he just took one look. He said, look, we've got to get you to the hospital. And I said, no, but then I'm going to have to not do the rest of the race and somebody else is not. So I said, no, you're a doctor. You must fix me.
Yeah.
So he said,
treat me. Yeah.
So we looked around and nobody had any needle and thread.
Oh, God.
So, Rob Shulman, another fantastic runner.
Yes, yeah.
He had the Steri-Strips, you know?
Yeah, right.
The medical things. So he did this little operation. They cleaned the wound, and then he got Rob to hold the light above it because it was at night.
So primitive, isn't it? Such a primitive
field hospital
on the West Highlands.
Was a bit strong.
He got Sarah Swan to hold the wound closed. She's another fantastic runner.
Yeah, low fire sort of mash, isn't it? Yeah.
And then he closed it up. So off we went the next day. But you know when it's not jerking around, it kept on starting to bleed again.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know it was bleeding. At one stage, we stopped for lunch halfway.
Look at the glee on his face.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. So we stopped for lunch, and everyone's like looking at me, and I wiped my nose to see if that was a problem. And and then one of them said, Gavin, I think you should go to the bathroom. I said, no, I'm fine. I don't need to. No, you should go to the bathroom. Sort of looked down to see if down my legs. Is there a problem there? No problem there. And then so I went to the bathroom and saw my face was actually
really
covered in blood.
You
anyway,
like Harry.
So we... it was all was fine in the end.
You stayed there.
Yeah.
You do have a... Where do you think...
Sorry. I just came to the pushy mums.
He comes on this... it's quite laissez-faire attitude to pain.
No,
do you know what I mean? You seem quite... I mean, like, obviously you know how to treat your own injuries, and that's something you want to talk about, but you're not averse to running through it if it's not too serious, it seems to me.
But it's not such a good thing. The worst one I had where I did that was... that must be about 7 or 8 years ago. Training was just going fantastically well.
Right.
And I thought...
That's worrying.
Maybe I can, could go faster than I thought. I did the Finchley 20.
Right.
It's called the Finchley 20. It's actually in Hillingdon.
Right.
I did a PB on that, 2:06. And I thought, okay, that's great.
Nice, yeah.
So I did another little run after that.
Yeah.
And then I did a really hard track session.
On the Tuesday,
and I tore my adductor.
Oh,
and it was.
That's the one.
That
seems to be a sort of potential window of injury, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially as you get older, just after a good race.
Yeah.
Those sort of 3 or 4 days after a race, you can't, because you want to propel yourself to the next level of fitness.
Yeah,
and you
feel
kind of got to consolidate what you've got, sort of.
Yeah, and your healing like body is
doing
the work. Stretched.
So it's peeled
back. And then you're just taking it further, yeah.
So your abductor went, did it?
Yeah, and then...
What's the abductor? Where's that?
It's the inside of your thigh.
Oh, okay.
So it's the one... It's the one leading to your groin.
Yeah.
So I went... I tried to...
So Jarman came out with his needle and thread again.
You yeah. Hold it together, keep on running. 30 miles to Swindon tomorrow.
Yeah, no. I went to Massa, an osteopath who's in sort of the on the ladder.
Yeah.
He's a guy a lot of people in the running club go to.
Right.
And he said, look... You know, he said, I don't want you to run the marathon. And I said, yeah. And then he looked at me and he said, but you're going to run it anyway, aren't you? I said, yeah, that's right. So he said, okay, don't run it all until the marathon.
Right. Oh, that, wow.
Oh, my
so,
word.
So I had two or three weeks of not running at all.
Right.
Then I did the marathon.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I'm feeling really good. So I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was running with Howard, another really good runner.
Because you had your 20 miles in 206, you had that in the bank, sort of.
Yeah.
I imagine you weren't eating too much. You're trying to keep your weight down.
No,
doing all the right things.
Some people would say that would be quite a reasonable training schedule anyway.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
And the physio, he had said to me, he said, look, if you do it, it's highly likely that you'll run fine on for 15, 20 miles and then it'll go.
Right.
And then you're going to feel it. I ran with Howard and we were doing 2:45 pace.
Right.
And we got to 20 miles and it just went like that.
Oh, goodness.
And it was absolute agony. It was the year of the Boston terrorist bomb.
Right.
And
okay.
There was a big sign up on the bridge and it said, run if you can, walk if you must, but finish for the people of Boston.
Right. Yeah.
And I thought, I can't stop.
You've got to do it.
Oh, street cleaner, one moment.
But Jesus, it was. I mean, up until then, I'd been doing 2:45 pace. I lost 15 minutes in that.
Right.
I ended up just getting under 3, and I could hardly walk.
And when you were in that last few miles, were you running, but with a huge limp and loads of pain.
I was running, yeah, but it was so sore.
And then,
when I finished, I just couldn't walk.
Wow.
To pull myself along the fence.
Yeah.
And I was out for 12 weeks. So
it's quite an achievement to have a major injury and still be 3 hours. Yeah,
stupid as well.
It taps into that thing we said. I remember that was something I realised about marathons. That marathon is the way that the marathon alchemises A, tragedy into positivity, and B, one person's journey into a big communal event. So
the fact
that you're... marathon was directly related to what happened in Boston, and that helped you get there, and you did it for them. It's a really nice dialogue.
Yeah, I mean,
I should think once you got over the finish line, you weren't thinking that much about that.
Yeah, but no, you kind of do because it was so fresh. You know,
yes,
what had happened to the people.
It was a week before. Wasn't it?
It was such a horrible.
Thing, people, you know, there weren't people who run in Boston were running in London. It was it was right over the whole thing.
I mean, there's nothing lower than attacking an event like a marathon.
No, it's
absolutely revolting, and it was just. You kind of felt so filled for those people.
Yes, absolutely. But there's something about, you'll have run a lot of marathons. I've run about 8, but 7 of them have been in London.
Yeah.
Which is a bit lazy. But my goodness, the crowds are amazing.
London,
there,
I love
the crowd is absolutely incredible there.
Yeah.
And you do become part of them, don't you? You feel that the longer the race goes on.
Yeah.
It carries you forward, and I thought that when I first did it, it kind of irritated me, which is just stupid, because since then, I've done lonely marathons, and it's just so much harder.
You've got
those people there supporting you, even if you kind of don't want to hear it, or they're saying carry on, and you don't want to carry on.
Yeah,
it's still just you're just in the world.
I love the crowd support.
Yes,
it's great.
It's amazing. So you're looking to ramp up your training. How do you? Do you do strength stuff around mileage? Because I suppose a couple of questions. Do you think that some people's bodies just can't take high mileage? Or do you think that people don't do the necessary work around running so that they can? What do you reckon? Because you do quite high mileage for your age, don't
you? I think
you?
People or some people are just physiologically a bit different. You know, slow twitch muscles are different from fast twitch muscles. So I think that's part of it. And then part of it's also the training.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think it's a combination of those.
Right.
Of those things. I mean, I think just little things like your calf shape make such a difference.
And when you were a runner, the first time you ran, like when you were running at school, was that distance then, or were you? What was your kind of distance?
Way up.
I wasn't great at school at all, but I was running cross country and you know, anything from 800 to 3,000.
So it was the model for this kind of running, not nearly the distance, but still what at school would be considered distance running.
But I used to love going for long runs when I was in school. You know, they weren't very long. Those were like, you know, 6-7 miles kind of thing.
Yeah, but to a kid, it's huge.
Yeah. And that was in South Africa.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And do you do any strength stuff around your running then, or do you do stretching?
So I did for about 2 years because I had another injury. What happened there?
This is actually quite reassuring.
It better be a good story, because the last two were great.
No. This one was another. It was not even my stupidity. I was in absolute peak condition. I thought, this is definitely going to be a PV. And yeah. I was walking my dog, Pedro. He pulled one way, and my foot got caught in a rabbit hole.
Oh,
and I went over on the ankle.
Oh, they're awful. That's awful.
And that was 3 days before London.
Oh, no.
And it was a massive swelling. I went to the doctor. He said, oh, that's broken. So I had an x-ray, but it wasn't broken. But the ligament or the tendon on the right hand, on the left-hand side was torn. Not severed, but just torn. And
so you completely cancelled the marathon.
Yeah, man, there was no way I could have run. But so what I did instead was I entered Milton Keynes, which was 8 days later.
Right.
So so when I got to Milton Keynes, I hadn't run for 2 weeks. What happened was I got the advice from three doctors.
I'm doing the maths here. It sounds like less than 2 weeks.
Dr. Lou, she said, don't do it.
Yeah.
Dr. Paul Jarman said, don't do it.
Right.
Dr. Costi said, I'll just go for it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, they often say you need a third opinion.
Yeah, that was the obviously correct advice. And
didn't Scott Jurek injure his ankle before an ultra and smother it in turmeric?
And did he do it?
I think he did, yeah.
An ultra, geez.
Yeah, yeah. And he wrapped it in gaffer tape and just smothered it in herbs. As far as I can remember from his book, but it's but people's attitude does differ, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, mine was not an ultra.
Yeah, totally.
So I got Jackie, who's another runner, and she's a physio. I got her to strap it up.
Right.
And completely immobilise it.
Yes.
And then I ran Milton Keynes. But,
sorry. You guys.
It caused a bit of damage.
Right.
To my foot.
Because
it was immobilised.
Because you run differently when it's immobilised.
Yeah, you're not running the same. And,
yeah.
So the marathon went okay, but the aftermath was I had a lot of it was ligament pain in the foot, and then I couldn't run, and then I joined the YMCA gym,
right?
And I started getting into doing like cross training and then I sort of got into doing weights, and I used to do lots of pull-ups on the bar and that kind of thing.
Yes, yeah.
And core, I got into doing core. And
which is obviously useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and sensible.
But
all a little bit less impactful. You know, the cross training is basically, you know, like running with less harshness on your legs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simplistic take, but that is it.
And everybody said, do lots of, squats and deadlifts and that. But I found then once I went back to training, that my legs were just too tired from doing that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I get that, yeah.
And then,
because it's high impact stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I got into a new relationship and I just didn't have time to go to the gym anymore.
Right, okay.
And you're getting lots of exercise.
I gave it up.
Yeah.
So I haven't done that for, I guess it's about a year now.
Right.
And all those injuries, particularly the adductor in your foot and your ankle, do you find when you're better, you know, essentially healed and back on form, does your body still remind you of those, or are they completely? Because I always feel
Do you carry them with you? Sir?
Do you carry them with you as you go?
No, once they're better, they're better. I mean, the one sort of sensible thing I've done is when I get an injury like that, I just don't run.
Yeah,
right.
And then at all. I might cycle or
you might get the marathon you were going to do done before you stop running.
Yeah, and then I just stop.
Yeah.
And
do you find psychologically, do you find that's hard, or do you just make that decision?
No, it's not too bad. My friends will tell me to say differently, but I don't think I'm addicted to running. So.
But you obviously get an awful lot of pleasure out of it, and it's obviously kind of shaped your life to a certain extent, hasn't it? I mean, it's a part of your identity, isn't it?
It's part of my identity. I don't know how you can put it, but it makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. And did you think it helped with your writing as well, with the discipline of that?
Well, you know, quite often what I do is if I'm working on a chapter, and I'm not quite sure what to do with it. Then I'll go for a run.
Yeah.
And I sometimes find myself even talking to myself aloud. And then by the time I get back, sometimes I've worked it out.
It can help, can't it?
Yeah. So it's like a simultaneous, it's a break in one way, it's a meditative time away from it, but on the other hand, you're tapping into your kind of creative brain.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, you're running here, it's just so lovely.
It's so beautiful, isn't it? We're in Highgate Woods now, which is where we run all the time.
Yeah, it's funny, because it's such a good team for you guys, because this is a new angle on stuff that we know, but Ali Pali, that terrace between the two, I think it used to be a railway. Beautiful. I mean, it's a horrible day today. Muddy, rainy. I mean, it's quite good running. It's not boring rain. Yeah. It's not super windy. But, you know, your average person looking out of the car window would think, ugh.
Are you mad?
But these woods are great.
Yeah, they're great.
And they always are.
Yeah.
And you, when you're building up for a marathon, then what's your kind of... What would be your build-up? What's your phases? Do you do blocks of 4 weeks, or do you do 3 weeks hard, then one a bit easier, or how do you play?
No, you know, I don't follow any program, and I don't write down any program. I don't think it out before.
Okay.
Because I kind of do the same thing.
Right. And also, you know your body by now, don't you?
So kind of, yeah. So yeah. I know that basically you've got to... Big mileage seems to make a difference.
Yes, absolutely.
Even what people call junk miles, but I didn't think they're junk.
No.
And I do them at like 9 minutes a mile, slow.
Yes, I know, yeah.
And,
I know it's a difference just at my level when I was trying to beat 3, going up from 40 miles a week to 50, 55.
Yeah.
You just get better, don't you?
Yeah,
you get better at running.
And me too, recently, I basically was training anyway and thinking, something's missing, the marathons are coming off really hard. So like you say, you just top those miles up with, and find a way to do them. Do them slow.
Yeah.
Do them, Kate Carter was saying the other day, it's good to do a long run, but getting out on lots of runs is also great because... it just reminds your body that that's what you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Your body's always learning how to run better, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah. So I think there's three essentials. I mean, the big mileage, obviously, but in terms of actual runs, I do a long Sunday run.
Yes.
I'll do at least 8 runs of 20 miles or more.
At least 8?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And then, I'll do at least 1 session a week. So usually I do that on a Tuesday night.
What, a track session, you mean a speed session or something?
And then I'll try to do a tempo session, like a cross country or something like that, or park run maybe.
Yeah.
Once a week. Yeah, and that's about it.
And that's it, and then just runs around.
And when you say a tempo session, the park run, do you just go and do a park run, or do you run fast to it, or do you make anything?
I'll run there and back, and then I'll do the park, do the park run, so just to add in a bit of miles.
And what kind of speed do you do a park run at?
Oh!
You do Ali Pali one, do you?
No.
Which is awful.
I find it awful. I've done it a few times.
Yeah,
but I find it really hard.
It is tough work, isn't it?
I do Finsbury Park.
Right.
Which has also got a hill in it.
But it's a nice course, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm getting slower on that one. I can't get under 19 minutes anymore.
Oh, no. Yeah. Listeners crying dry tears of sympathy for your 19
minutes. But it's got that long... It's got that long downhill at the start, isn't it? It's quite deceptive, isn't it? It sucks you in, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the long uphill
to a quick pace, yes, absolutely.
I'm absolutely useless on hills.
Right.
And I'm an absolutely appalling cross-country runner.
I've noticed you're not great at cross-country.
No, I'm absolutely shit.
What's that about? Is that about rhythm? I mean, because I like the rhythm of the road, mate. I like to get into... cross-country is always breaking it up, isn't it?
Yeah, mud will really throw you off.
Yeah, it's that, and it's also... I've got nothing to run against. So, I don't care who beats me in a cross-country.
Right.
Nobody believes that when I said it, but I actually don't.
Right.
But because I run in a road race, the same in the road race, I'm just running against the clock.
Right.
So I'm very competitive against the clock.
Yes.
And in a cross country race, the clock doesn't make...
It doesn't make any
sense. It doesn't make any difference. I usually go through here, but...
Yeah.
This might as well. Yes.
We can do it. We can go through here as well.
If we're talking across country, we really ought to face this.
Yeah,
down.
Yeah.
Although, you know, listening to you guys talk about cross country, I literally went through 10 yards of mud by the canal the other day. I was like, no, this is awful.
There is a bracing quality to it, isn't there? There is a kind of competitive... that in a way, that's where I can enjoy cross country, because it's not against the clock.
Yeah.
Then it is against people.
Yeah.
So it's just like you just try to constantly beat the bloke in front of you.
Yeah.
And there's something about that. There's a simplicity that I like about that. You know.
I like the camaraderie of it.
Yeah.
I love it that like the. We cheer on the women before, and then the women cheer
yes,
on us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
and,
great.
And then everybody goes to the pub later, and I really like that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's quite what Paul was saying, though. You like the camaraderie. He likes beating people.
Yeah, I do. I like trying to beat people, yeah. And if they beat me, I haven't got a problem about it.
No,
it's
no,
like
it's
the,
that's
I like
game.
The whole thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, when you do a road race, it's almost like everyone's kind of helping you. We're all helping each other to achieve our time sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You occasionally get involved with people competitively, but really as an aid to your own
yeah, your
time.
Oh,
your time.
I nearly fell over, sorry. Yeah, and it's a complicated thing, isn't it? Because then, like at a parkrun or in a road race or in a marathon, you get next to someone and you're both trying to... You're sort of trying to be the fastest, but you're still helping
this
each other.
This is a proper mess.
We're having a little ice skating comedy.
This is a bit like what Ali Pally
was
like.
This is a real mess.
Don't slip on here.
Yeah.
We've gone on the wood and you think, I'll be fine now, but the mud on your shoes creates an exciting... Oh, this is going to be fun. Oh! I've got to take a photo of this mud. I'll catch you guys up.
We'll just wait.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
So when do you do your long runs?
Here I am.
Your 20s. I mean, you go out with a 9 a.m. group, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
But I went out with them once, and I will try and go out with them again as I get fit for Manchester. But they like to crank it up near the end, don't they?
Sort of towards the marathon, people do.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's absolutely fine.
Right.
And usually people sort of divide up. On the second half, so
right.
Those who want to go faster can do, and those who don't.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But there's definitely a value if you can get that. Probably easier in a group to do a few long runs trying to go faster towards the end, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what the marathon is, isn't it? If you want to do well, it's running fast when you really don't want to.
Yeah, and
it's kind of training.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. You know? But I still find it's an absolute mystery to me. How it happens, because when you're doing like a Sunday run,
yeah,
and you're really pushing it, and then you look and you see, like, I'm doing, I don't know, like say 7 minutes a mile,
yeah,
and you think, whoa, I can't keep this up for much longer. Then you get to the marathon and you're running, you're running
6:40s or whatever.
6:40 for the whole race.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels fine.
Yeah, yeah, they're really accessing something.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the one, it's weird because it's there's two ends to that. With one end, it's definitely totally in your, not even psychological, but in your ego rather than your id. But on the other hand, it's totally external because it's to do with being out there with those other runners and getting that support of that crowd. But who knows?
Yeah.
And you've also got your... you don't run for 5 days before a marathon, do you?
Seven.
Right, so you have a complete week off.
I didn't even put my shoes on yet.
That's interesting.
That's interesting, isn't it? That is different, isn't it?
I'm going to do that from Manchester starting today.
Total rest, but you train really hard. So do you bother with like taper weeks or do you train?
Yeah, I do. I taper from 3 weeks.
Right. So talk us through your mileage then, just for the people out there who want to get down the brass tacks.
I mean, it's never exact. It always varies, because it depends on work and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
I'll go like from 60 for a few weeks, and then I'll take it up to 70, and I'll try and hold it more or less at 70, and then sometimes I'll do 1 or 2 weeks at 80.
Right.
And then come down.
Right.
And then that's interesting, because I remember, Paul, when you did your sub-3, you did 1 week at 90, and you were aware that that's maybe too far.
Wow, I've never done that.
No, but that was only because I did my long run. I did 2 long runs in the same week. I did a long run on Saturday and Sunday in the same week.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I kind of cheated it a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still in a week.
Yeah, it's still in a week. Yeah.
And I think you were aware that you'd got to the red line as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's the trick, isn't it? Getting to that feeling like you're on the verge of injury or illness.
Yeah, yeah.
Just knowing how to look after yourself.
Yeah, and sometimes when you're coming down, you pick up something.
What, when you start tapering?
Yeah, even like this time I did the York Marathon.
Which is a great place.
It was a lovely
race. Oh, yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
And I was really feeling great. But I didn't run in that last week, and I thought I won't cycle to work either.
Right.
To get my leg to rest. I went on the tube, and you're touching things, and
yes.
Picked up a cold.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So I ran that marathon. You know, when you're running with a cold, you just don't feel 100%.
Of course not. No.
It took me a long time to recover from that.
Yeah.
From that marathon.
And they're draining, aren't they? They're tough experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
To really run hard at over 26.
In a way, maybe. I mean, if there's not negatives coming in after a marathon, it's almost, you can kind of say thanks for, at least I got a nasty cold here rather than some twangy muscle injury that my body didn't warn me about.
Oh yeah, much better to have a cold, yeah.
And we missed a step there because I jumped into my pool. So you get to 80 miles a week, and then you'd wind down from what, like 4 weeks out?
About 3 or 4, yeah.
Yeah.
So then I'll go back down to 70, 60, 50.
Right, okay. So it doesn't fall off a cliff, it's a gradual.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks out, you still do a fair few miles before you do.
2 weeks out, I'll usually be doing about 40 to 50.
Yeah.
And you do more tempo stuff as the mileage comes down to get your legs used to a faster click, or do you not bother with that?
No.
Right.
No, I.
Just a 1 a week.
I'm trying to kind of, get them. It's not very scientific, but I just have this idea that there's lots of micro trauma in your quads and in your hamstring and your calves.
Yeah.
And you just want those to heal.
Yeah. Yes.
So
before the race.
Yeah.
So you can break them again.
Yeah. But sometimes what I'll do is do a 10K race 2 weeks before.
Yes.
Just to kind of see if I've got the speed.
And it can give you a bit of confidence as well.
Yeah, yeah. Or not.
Or not, yeah.
But you are not the kind of person, we hear from this, that would do a park run the day before a marathon.
No, I never.
Of course
do
not. No.
No.
Well,
you say, of course not.
We get some people.
But people do.
Yeah, I know. But also, if you're younger, you recover quicker.
Yes.
So,
damn them.
I definitely found, like, getting older takes me longer to recover.
That's why, I mean, I'm at the same stage, although I'm 10 years younger than that. I think 2 quality sessions for me a week and a long run is enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that 3 or 4 things, I just won't be able to do it now, you know.
Yeah.
And I do think some people overtrain. So they wait too long before tapering.
Right.
They do too much in the week before.
Yes.
They
do their best running in training, seems
to. Yeah, they might do half marathon like 3 weeks before. I think that's just a bit too soon.
Right. I remember chatting to you before London about the mental side of things. And I talk about this a bit in my book, actually, about you saying to me about the language you used to talk about you're running, and if you want to beat a time, say, I'm going to beat it. I'm going for it. I will do this, as opposed to I'm trying to beat.
I don't know if it makes any difference, but
I think it does.
Yeah.
I mean,
positive visualisation.
Well,
balanced with realistic.
If anything, as long as it's realistic. I mean, you're not going around saying I'm going to beat 2 hours, but because it kind of it does two things. It opens yourself up to the possibility that it's going to happen, doesn't it? You're talking about it as a likelihood as opposed to a distant possibility.
Yeah.
And you're also telling other people that you're going for it.
Yeah,
you know, there's always that out, isn't it? Like, I'm going to try and beat this time.
Externalizing.
I'll see how it goes. I'll get to 20 and see how it goes.
Yeah. And then you think, oh, well, I'm not going to settle for that because I told everybody I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's sort of. It's a bit of a contract, isn't it? Because so much of the marathon, I know we've fixated on the marathon a bit, but it's a big event. We do it a lot.
It's the time to talk about it.
It's that between 20 and 26 miles.
Oh, that's where.
That's where it happens, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where it happens. Yeah.
And that's where you need your head right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you got any tricks or any ideas that you can help us with that? Because you seem very good. As a lot of people are at Heathside, when I joined the club, I was fascinated by people's ability to just run in pain and just live with it, just live with discomfort.
That's right.
Have you any notions about that to
well,
help?
Well, I do that thing of where I do tell people the actual my hoped for time,
right,
which is usually a little bit faster than the time I think I'll do, but
yeah.
I'll tell people no, that's what I'm going for.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I won't have any qualifications on that.
That's interesting.
So that's the one thing. And then not running that week before, I think it's partly psychological.
Right.
It's like I've got this picture in my head of my legs just repairing and all these capillaries
like
just reconnecting.
So even if that's a placebo, really, even though it's psychosomatic, it's still helping your training, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Yeah, that's a nice idea. Yeah.
Can I just ask at that point, when you're on your week off, are you just a week off running, or do you really take it easy?
I take it easy. I try not to walk, cycle.
Right.
The day before the race, I try just like sit down the whole day.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then, of course, by the time of the day, important. You're desperate to get moving.
Yeah,
right?
You do, and then you go too fast.
Right, yeah.
That's what happens. But, yeah.
Right.
But you do, don't you? I mean, people always say don't go out too fast. I don't think I've ever met anyone who didn't. It's part of the process.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you were saying you set a high goal and you stick with that as how you talk about it.
And the other thing I do, maybe it's also psychological, is I start watching what I'm eating and drinking. So like, I never used to do this. And I thought it was nonsense, but now I've tried it, and I don't know, it helps, but it's just something else. So I cut out, I used to eat 2 Mars bars a day.
Right.
I cut them out.
Right.
I used to just eat donut after donut. I used to go to Sainsbury's to buy the shopping.
Right. Yeah.
And I would buy a pack of 4 donuts, like one for each of my children and 2 for me.
Right.
I never managed to get out of the parking lot without eating all 4.
Right. Okay.
They never got a donut.
Right.
So you didn't eat those anymore.
Yeah.
You still have the holes.
So I cut all that out. And then the other thing I started doing is I used to cut out alcohol for 1 week, then 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This last one, 7 weeks.
Right.
This year, for Milton Keynes, it's going to be 2 months.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And
the difference is incredible, isn't it? I mean, I don't know whether drink's a bit of a theme of the show.
Yeah.
We drink.
Well, we know it will help. That's the thing. It's like, how are we going to bother to cut alcohol out? But it will help your training. There's just no question
There's
about
no
that.
Argument about it.
I think
opera singer. Either an opera singer or a car alarm.
I don't think it's anything more than that.
But right.
Yeah.
It's also quite a good discipline too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the strictness of it.
Sort of show yourself that.
That you're. You can
yeah. That you're okay
it.
With giving up alcohol.
Well, it's like you say. Also, just any kind of. There's two aspects here. Any kind of strictness is good training for strictness. Like when you were saying about the last 6 miles of the marathon being basically where you fight the marathon. That's the main reason I plank, is to do the last minute of the plank that I can't face.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to psychologically get ready for doing, for going further than you want to go.
Yeah.
And like the strictness of not drinking, and also the possible whether it's genuine medicine or placebo, or visualising your own muscles getting better, it doesn't matter because it's helping.
No, it's probably just placebo.
Exactly.
Yeah. And do you carb load? Go.
Not really. I mean, I always have a lot of carbs anyway.
Right.
Sometimes
so
after
I've
the
got
carb
into that keto diet thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you change, but you wouldn't change what you eat in the last week before a marathon?
No, not really.
That's interesting.
I mean, I try not to eat too much because I'm not running out of... And
you don't
I do
want to put on
like
weight, do you?
Yeah. Like an extra kilo is going to slow you down.
Absolutely, yes.
And on the day of a long run, do you eat anything before you run?
I do. I find it quite hard by the end of a 20-odd mile run if I haven't had any breakfast.
Of course, Yeah.
And during a 20-mile run or on a weekend?
Well, not during, but like I'll have, say, a bowl of porridge or some toast or something and a banana.
Just a bit of fuel.
Yeah.
And during an action marathon, do you do gels or anything?
Yeah, gels, yeah.
All the way, like every 45 minutes?
I usually take four.
Yeah, that's about right.
And I take caffeine gels as well.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It took me a while to embrace the gels because when I used to run... You know, in the 80s or whatever, they weren't around, and I was a bit sniffy about them. But I definitely noticed a difference when I did.
Yeah.
They obviously work, don't they?
I think it's quite a long way to go with no nutrition, given what you're doing to your body.
Yes, yeah.
And you have to build a relationship with them, don't you?
Yeah.
I remember the key thing with me with gels is they've made me feel sick in the past. And I don't think they've stopped making me feel sick. I just understand how and why that's happening and know how to live with it and get the goodness out of the gel. You know, because I think that when you first have it, it's a bit of a shock to the stomach.
I quite like them.
Oh, no, I force them.
I'm going along. Oh, yes. No. I have Coca-Cola and all vanilla ones.
Oh, God, no. Yes, no, I'm really... For me, it's like a spoonful of castor oil. You know, I'm going to force this nightmare down. Also, I wanted to ask... You said you'd done Milton Keynes before, and that's the next one now. Yeah,
Keynes. They've changed the course. It's got a better course now.
Okay.
So I did it differently.
Less roundabouts or more roundabouts, is it?
A few years ago, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's flatter now.
Right.
Yeah, I can't help picturing the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Donald Sutherland whenever I picture Central Milton Keynes. Yeah. Apologies to Milton Keynes.
It's not a bad place.
It's good, but lots of good people there.
Yeah.
Okay, the selfish question, but you did Manchester last year.
Yeah.
What's it like? What's it going to be like for us?
Oh, no, Manchester's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So I've done it twice now.
You've done fast times though as well, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's not quite as flat as London.
Right.
But I think it's as fast because... nobody's getting in your way, and they're not so only like twists and turns, and
right.
And where does it go? Does it go kind of out of town and back, or does it loop around a bit more?
I've got no sense of direction, so you mustn't ask me that question. I'll just say it goes all over the place. But it's a really nice course. It's very well run. Everybody's kind of very friendly there to you.
Right.
The first time I did it, I was running in this kind of peloton. And then I was running
in a line of runners.
Yeah, there was a whole group of us.
Right.
And there was a guy who was 19 years old who was running.
Yeah.
And there was another guy who was a veteran runner. So we were all chatting and we were giving the 19-year-old advice his first marathon, and as you do, and then me and the other guy were chatting, and he was a Mancunian, and he and then at about 23 miles I couldn't stay with him, so he went a bit ahead, and he but afterwards he came up and he found me, gave me a big hug. He found my he managed to contact me on, I think it was on Facebook or something, and he sent me a picture which his wife had taken. I mean, that's
so
a really
kind
nice
of,
thing
it?
To
yeah,
do
yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, really kind.
And to me it was kind of that sort of epitomised the spirit of that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Heathsiders going up, isn't there, in April?
I think there's about 20 of you.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, that could get tense. We might have to take on the locals in a say we, it's nothing to do with me. We might get a bit West Side Story up there, might
Yeah. Battle of the clubs. No, yeah. But it's got a rep as a bit of a fast alternative to London.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit easier to get into.
Yeah.
For a lot of athletes.
Yeah. And it's not as pressured.
Yes.
And the weather is bound to be better than London. I mean, London seems to be quite hot these days.
Can be, yeah. So if you get... Let's live with the idea that you're going to get in the top five in Milton Keynes. What happens then?
Then I run another marathon in October.
Right.
In the England Best my first run as a V60.
And you've won the England Best before, haven't you?
Yeah, that was the one in York.
Right.
And so
that must be. That must be a nice moment.
I mean, it is quite nice.
It must be really nice. I mean, it's easy to...
Oh, it's quite
to
nice.
To not make a big thing about
it's
it.
Huge.
But that is a big thing, isn't
it's
it?
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah.
That's and a great thing, yeah.
Some of my South African friends said, what are you so hard?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
no, I'm joking, of course.
Yeah. Bit of grief from your old mates, still. Yeah. Really nice to make your mark like that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not a big deal. And it's a
fun thing.
It's a lovely thing.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's... Well, we had a... Remember, I think it was Tony. What's him? Gillier. Is it Gillier, the club member in the Tony Gillier in the said he'd won the European steeplechase 3,000 meters.
Yeah.
In his ague or something. I think there's only one other person running, but he still won it. You might as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're giving him out, you might as well.
Yeah.
But it's not like there's no.
Mind
one
you, my
running.
Mum won a painting competition once.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not like told her later that she was the only person who entered.
What was that?
Does that count? My mum won a painting competition.
Right.
She was chuffed, but she was the only entrant. But that's not the same, is it?
And it's not like there's no one running over the age of 50. Was it over 55? So over 50 when you got your vest.
Over 55.
Yeah. It's still competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still an awful lot of people
fantastic
who are going to run for a long time and want to be respectable and compete. And
yeah. And you know, you can never get any hubris about it, because if you look at the times that people are doing, I mean, I looked at the V50 world records, 2:19.
Wow.
That's phenomenal.
Japanese?
No, I think he was Kenyan.
Right.
I'm not quite sure.
Right. Wow.
Well, one thing's for sure, again, but making it narcissistic, but it just gives us a lot of hope.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fundamental thing coming all the way around is you saying about the conversation you had years ago, saying, oh, as you get older, you're going to slow down, and you just basically saying, no. And that's what Sophie Wrightworth said when we talked about that.
Yeah.
And she's only got past. So I think ultimately you just have to say no to that, don't you?
Yeah.
Like you say, the stats are out there. You don't have to get slower.
Yeah.
Or at least you can drastically slow down the rate of getting slower.
Yeah.
Because
right.
You're likely to. There's certain physiological...
You're going to get it.
Yeah, and again, it's
but it doesn't have to be a drop-off.
No.
You know?
No, and it's like the whole running journey is, again, a microcosm of the races.
Yes.
So I'm thinking...
Are you tempted by that?
I'm tempted to do the comrades.
Right.
Maybe next year.
Right.
There's been talk about that, hasn't there, doing the comrades?
Yeah.
And that would be nice for you, wouldn't it, as well, going back to...
They'll be absolutely lovely.
I'm huge, yeah.
It's hard for us to always say, you're not a real runner until you've done the comrades.
Yeah. Of course we know you are, but that's what people like saying that
that's
stuff.
Pretty harsh on us and everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really good run we've had this morning. So I haven't really had a chance to chat about your books and stuff, but what we'll do is we'll get back in the summer and have a nice longer run. When the sun's out, we can have a little chat.
Yeah,
about South Africa.
Well, you'll be able to compare books.
What have you got coming out? Was it Skin Deep?
Yeah, so that one just came out in the end of August.
Right.
So I'm sort of doing the book festivals and that on that one.
Right.
When is your book coming out?
My book's coming out February the 6th.
Oh, brilliant.
So I'm looking forward.
Oh, so I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk.
And you're going to have a nice launch?
I'm hoping to. They don't seem to do big launches like they used to.
No, I think
that's Bloomsbury.
You could do it yourself.
Yeah, I'd like to do one at Waterston's Crouch End and get some club members along and some mates and just have a little.
That's a fantastic place to do that. Yeah.
Yes, I will do that. Yeah, because there's a lot of club members in the book. Yourself, Sarah, Dominic Jackson, all the people who inspired me trying to beat 3 hours. were a big part of my experience, even though you guys were just doing a normal winter's training.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, it became part of some sort of journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And you all really helped, because there's nothing that helps you get fitter and faster than joining a club, is there?
Yeah, and other people really do inspire you.
Yeah, they absolutely do, yeah.
I mean, I found exactly the same thing. Yeah. And it's like, you're running with other people and you think, okay, well, this is about the best I can do. And then you see other people doing better and you think, well, maybe I can push myself a bit harder.
Just show you what's possible, that's right.
Yeah.
And in terms of hard training, it's so hard to do those hard half-mile reps or whatever on your own, isn't it? You need people.
Yeah. I did the Manchester Marathon, I was just in the early days of a new relationship, so I didn't want to like get up early on the Sunday morning.
Right.
So I started doing my Sunday runs
in the afternoon.
In the afternoon, I would go.
It's really hard.
It was hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah. I used to run to Regent's Park.
Right.
And then do.
You feel so lonely.
Yeah.
Don't
and I'd
you?
Do a couple of hard laps around. Then I was having to like talk to myself, just push. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, but it was not nearly as nice.
It's
as
not
doing
as nice.
It.
And it's
a good journey again because it's so horrible.
But there's something about Sunday afternoon runs is it's taking up too much of the Sunday, isn't it? You want to get them done in the morning.
Yeah, it's nicer, much nicer getting them done in the morning. Yeah.
So, Gavin, I know you don't do. We all do the social media thing with varying degrees of enthusiasm, but you're on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, and I put it on Facebook. And
yes.
So, will you just send me the link?
Absolutely. Well, it's been a real pleasure.
Okay.
This
do you want? Do you guys want any coffee or anything?
Is that all right? If we have a coffee. I want the caffeine. But first of all, let's wrap up. Thank you so much, Gavin. And everyone, get in touch. Thank you. Fantastic. Selfishly, we very much.
Good luck in Milton Keynes.
Good luck in Milton Keynes.
Oh, thanks very much.
And we'll go out again, talk books, Milton Keynes, V60 stuff, and thanks again.
Okay, and so you guys, you've both got Manchester, but what have you got before then?
Cyprus half.
Ah,
we're doing Bramley 20.
Oh, I'm doing Bramley 20 as well.
Oh, nice. Well, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And then we're doing London after Manchester.
Yeah.
As a warm down.
Yeah. And then I'm doing a little ultra in the summer as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you're doing Manchester and London.
Yeah. We do London as a podcast. We kind of talk our way through that one. That's more of a social thing.
So are they 3 weeks apart?
They're about 3 weeks
apart. That's right.
And then Manchester's.
I would not be able to do that.
Yes, come on, mate.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.